Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. We thank God for you tuning in with us on today. This is Dr. Ulysses Morgan. We're here, glory to God, the Kingdom Builders Radio broadcast on this Blog Talk Radio station. And we thank God for you tuning in with us, those of you who have been listening to this broadcast and have been blessed by it. We give God the glory for all things. As I forestated several times before, amen, we are on the air so that those in whom God has assigned to me to teach will get the word of God. That there are many different diverse types of gifts that God has given men, but there are five ministering gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. And God gave those specific gifts for a specific reason. Amen. Because of the need of the people in their area. Amen. There is no one pastor, as I have stated several times, that is called to pastor the world. Amen. There are many people with different needs, and God has assigned an anointed person for them. The only one that has been anointed, amen, to pastor the world is Jesus Christ himself, who is the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, amen, and the chief cornerstone, and he is the one, amen, that will pastor this whole world at one given time after a while. But right now, God has assigned different people to different pastors, different anointed preachers that he has called because he has given them a word for their need. And I praise God and thank God that I believe that he has given me a word for the need of those of you who are listening to me right now. So I implore you to call a neighbor, call a friend, call someone. Let them know that we are on the air if you're not listening by your phone. Amen. And if you are, just tune in, and it will be on Facebook so you can come back and hear it at a later date and share it with someone, because in doing that, you are working in ministry. Amen. You are working in ministry. Many work behind the scenes, and that's one of the most blessed places to be. Amen. Because you are believing God to do something for him and not just for the glamour and the glory. And there is a reward behind that. Amen. So share it, amen. Let somebody hear it, because you never know a soul that you may be winning, and you never know someone whom you may be blessing by sharing this who is willing to reward you for your thoughtfulness. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes you miss your blessings in that area. Glory to God. And so we want you to be blessed. I also want you to be blessed by sitting down and writing us, amen, and exercising the law of reciprocity. Amen. Right. P.O. Box 492 in Cordial, Georgia. Zip code 31010. If you remember the zip code, the post office will tell you how to spell the city. Glory to God. And you can address it to me, Kingdom Builders. It doesn't matter. Glory to God. As long as we get your testimony or we get your gift or whatever you may send, amen, to support and help us to continue on doing what we do, because, amen, it is in our heart to be a blessing to those in whom God have given me to bless. I have an unction in my spirit to do what I do, and it is of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, and I thank God for it. And so I'm not worried about critics. I'm not worried about those who may turn their nose up or what have you. I'm just concerned about doing what God has called me to do, and I thank God for it. On last week, we talked about a subject that we didn't have much time to get into. We only got about 15 minutes in, and I want to complete that subject this time, and it's on vexation. Amen. The spirit of vexation, vexing. Amen. We're going to be talking about the Naaman syndrome right now. Amen. We're going to go ahead and go back to that particular chapter in that book. Amen. Which is 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and we're going to try to conclude that series tonight and help you in along your journey. I've got a real blessed word for you on next week, but tonight we want to make sure that we understand what is going on. The Spirit of God would have you to understand what's happening in your life and how to come against it, because you'd be surprised a lot of times what hinders you from your blessing. So let's get ready to get in there. First of all, we want to go to God in the word of prayer. Amen. If you would just Be silent with me for a moment and let's just address the throne of grace. Father, we thank you right now for this particular broadcast and all those that are listening to this radio broadcast. We thank God for them. Amen. Those who are listening to hear word from you, we thank God for them. Even our critics that may be listening, we thank God for them. And we pray, God, that this word will enter into their hearts, O God, and give them the understanding. The Bible declares that all that we get, we should get an understanding. And we want to give them an understanding of how the enemy works and how he tries to hinder them, O God, in a cunning way. Glory to God. And I pray right now, O God, that your word go forth over these airs with the power of anointing that you gave me when you gave it to me. O God, and the Spirit of God will touch every heart that's listening and give them, O God, a rejoicing spirit to know and increase their faith. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let us go into 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and we're going to talk about Naaman. Many of you have heard about Naaman. You've heard him preached several times, probably. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse, and we're going to skip around a little bit, because we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to start reading at the first verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, and if you have your word with you, you can follow me if you would. There may be some things you may want to underline as we go ahead in this. And it reads as follows. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now that was very, very strange, and I'm the type of a preacher that when I read something and it really doesn't coincide with the system of thinking that I have been taught through in my school years, then it captivates my attention and makes me want to look into it a little clearer. Now, something about this particular verse that really captivated my attention. Number one, Naaman was an Assyrian, but the Bible said that the Lord helped him win battles. He wasn't a Hebrew. He wasn't a Jew. Amen. He was an Assyrian, and Syrian normally worshiped a God that was not the living God. But he says he was a great man and honorable in his master, because the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, and the Bible said he was sick. So I gather from that God, through the word of God, was with Naaman and with Syria because they had his children with them. They had been taken captive, and they had been taken care of, and God protected the Syrians because of the Hebrews. Amen. But even though all that, my point is, another point is, even though all of that was done, Naaman became a great man because of the wars that he conquered. He was a great man in the eyes of his master. He was an honorable man all over town. He was a great man. He was rich. He was well respected. He was a man of integrity. He was high profile. But he was sick. He had a disease that was incurable. There was no cure for it at that time. And all that he was and all that he had, he did not have what he needed to cure him of this disease. So the point was, and I'm believing, and I do believe that Naaman is thinking of this, all that I have and all that I have achieved, what good is it to me if I can't live to enjoy it? And this is what we must understand as we live in this journey, amen, and when we decide a lot of times to become selfish with what we have, the question that you have to understand and the question that people have to understand, no matter what you have and what your position and what your status is, there's going to come a time when you're going to need God to do something for you that money and position cannot buy you. Money can't buy you, position can't give you, amen. Recognition can't cure you. You're going to need God to do something for you that nothing on this earth can conquer. You're going to need him to move in a mighty way, and every one of us is going to be like that. I don't care who you are, where you are, all over this world. Amen. God did not create us where we would not ever need him. You're going to need him. And Naaman is finding out here that out of all that he had done and all his honorable deeds, amen, and the worship of whoever he worshiped, yet, and his money that he had, yet he has something that he could not do anything about. Anything else naturally, Naaman could have conquered. But this one thing that was upon him, he had no cure for it. Nothing could, no money could buy a cure for it. No position that he could get in can cure it. He was plagued with something that nothing can get rid of but God. I'm here to tell you, some of you are going through right now something that money can't buy, amen, position can't buy. Nothing that you have can conquer what you're going through but God. God will allow you to go down through that valley because he needs for you to know two things. He needs for all of us to know that we need him, and he needs for all of us to know that it is going to be him that brings us out. Amen. God will fix it where, amen, we will see it. He will fix it where we will understand we need him. I don't care. See, this is why you have to be careful when you're on the mountain. Careful when things are working out for you. Careful when positions and power and all this stuff get in there, because you get so overjoyed. Amen. And the enemy, amen, Satan himself can get in there and cause you to be deceived. Amen, or have a deceptive mind to the point of where you feel like you're on top of the mountaintop, and then you will feel, and listen to me, you will feel that God put you there. Glory to God. But the Bible said, by their fruit shall you know them. And that's one thing about the Bible. Amen, the Bible never lies, but that's one thing that will be proven unto people. You don't have to prove it to God because he already knows where your heart is. But your action is going to prove what's in your heart. And I don't care where you are and what you have and what position you're in, amen, you have to understand that you're going to need God one day. You cannot rejoice in your place. You cannot rejoice in tearing people down. You cannot rejoice in yourself or self-esteem and not recognize God as to who he is. And a lot of times I have to say this. You can't get in church and praise God, glory to God, and think God is honoring that when you're not loving your neighbor like you need to. We all say things and then we act differently. So you have to understand that in every one of us have been caught by faults and mistakes. But if you can humbly, amen, ask God to forgive you and mean that in your heart, and you have to show it a lot of times to the people who you have, mistreated or what have you. You have to show it. And when God sees it from your heart, amen, then great things are going to happen to you that no man can tear down. No door can be shut when God opened it up. He called David a man after my own heart, because when David was caught in his mess, he repented. He didn't blame nobody else. He didn't call nobody else to be blamed. He saw himself. The Bible says he took off his kingly robe, he took off his crown and got sackcloth and put on him and sat in ashes and prayed and wrote psalms. He saw it all the way through. And most of it is how I am sorry, God, for what I've done. Amen. And how you're going to bless me and lift me up. Glory to God. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 40. Amen. I cried unto the Lord and he heard my prayer and brought me out of the horrible pit. God can do it for you. So now, Naaman is struck with leprosy here. And let me read on to the second verse. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, okay, my Lord, talking about Naaman, with the prophet that is in Miriam, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, this little maid, this young girl is an indication of who she is. This young girl who was brought captive from Israel was serving one of the Assyrian women and saw Naaman and knew that Naaman was in agony, and she knew that there was nothing to get that leprosy or that disease or that problem off of him. And she spoke to her mistress and told her, if I may paraphrase it, that if the Lord Naaman would just go and seek the prophet, then he could be healed of his leprosy. God used this young maiden. And a lot of times your word will come from people whom you least expect it to come from. It will come from people who the enemy has caused you to turn your back on. It will come, and God will fix it that way. Nobody expects this young maiden to have those words of wisdom in her to share, a word of knowledge in her to share, so that this prominent man can be healed. But God used her. Amen. Who's God using to bring a message to you? Amen. Who's the enemy fighting you with? And that may be the one God is using or will use to bring a word to you. Let's go down here to the 8th verse. Okay? And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Well, what happened, Naaman went to his king, asked permission to go to this man of God. The king sent a letter to the king of Israel, and the king saw the letter, and the Bible said he tore his clothes and said, now this king, no, I can't heal this man of his leprosy, though he seek an occasion to be my enemy or to make war with me. Okay, and so this king was wroth, and he did not understand what was going on, because Naaman's king, Naaman's leader, made it look like that he was able to do it, glory to God, and if he didn't do it, then that was an insult. Now this is how things get so turned around. The little maid never said that the king could do it. She said, go to Israel, and there is a prophet there that can do it. But now the king from Syria turned the thing around and made it look like that the king could heal Naaman from leprosy. And this is how sometimes you get things so turned around, because people give you misinformation, and misinformation can cause a world to crumble. Amen. Get it right. Speak right things. Understand what is going on so you don't misunderstand what's happening. And so this is what happened. And so what happened when Elisha got the word? Elisha said to the king, amen, that why are you renting your clothes? Amen. And he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. This is what Elisha is saying. Let him come to me. Because God spoke to Elisha, had to let him know that Naaman was coming, and let him know he had the power to heal of leprosy. And if Naaman would humble himself and come to the prophet, he would be healed. And King, you don't have to worry about a thing. Just send him to me. All right? Look at the 9th verse. And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Okay? Stood at his door. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, this is very insulting, and this is how God operates sometimes, because of how we think. When Naaman, the great man, pulled up in front of Elisha's house in the chariot, in his costly array, in his brilliance, in his majesty, he pulled up in front of, if I may paraphrase, Elisha's house in his limousine. And the Bible declares Elisha did not even come out to greet him. He didn't even come out. He sent a messenger because he was not intimidated about the wealth of Elisha nor his power. Amen. And sometimes we bow down to the wrong people because of what they have, who they are, glory to God. And it's no disrespect to, it was no disrespect to Naaman. But Naaman, you've got to learn how to come off of your pride, amen, and humble yourself. And he sent a messenger to him and told him what he needed to do. Amen. Go wash in Jordan seven times, and your flesh will come clean. Now look at what happened, which is going to be the book of what we're talking about here tonight. Glory to God. But Naaman was wroth. In other words, he was angry. Now, my question to you, the word angry also insinuates he was vexed. There was a spirit in Naaman that caused him to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Oh, my God, do y'all hear what I'm saying? And he didn't even know it. He didn't even know it because that enemy is just that sneaky and cunning and crafty until he can cause you to do something that's not godly without even you knowing it at the time. But one thing I love about God, he will send somebody to let you know that your spirit is not conducive to the will of God. He will let you know that you are being led by the wrong spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So how does God take worship, and how does God take praise, and how does God take the singing of heavenly songs in the choir? How does he take it when you do that, when you are being led, when you get through with all that, by the spirit that is not of God? Does he accept it? Does he not? Amen. Is your worship genuine? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it reaching God? Amen. When you can't stand your neighbor, or when you have envy and strife, and when he has caused you, your spirit to be vexed because you can't have your way. Glory to God. But look what happened. The Bible says, but Naaman was wroth, he was angry, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the lepers. Now here's what I want to bring out. Look at what Naaman is saying. Look at what's leading him to say this. Look at his pride. He said, surely I thought he was going to come out there. That was your thinking, Naaman. Sometimes we have preconceived ideas of how God's going to operate. And God can operate totally different than the way you're thinking he's going to do. He will do things, and he'll do them totally different than the way you think it ought to be done. He will come to you totally different than the way you think he ought to come to you. Things will happen in your life totally different than the way you think or somebody has caused you to think it ought to happen. And this is where you have to humble yourself. This is where you have to look at God, because we all have a mind, and normally the enemy gets in there and try to infiltrate our mind so he can get into our spirit and cause us to react in a way that is unrighteous in God's eyes. Amen. And cause us to go down the wrong path to seeking what God has already prepared for us. My goodness. Don't miss it. Don't miss what God got for you. Humble yourself. Look at what he said. He said, surely I thought this was going to happen. Do he know who I am? Do he know what kind of man I am? Do he know what position I hold? Do he know how much money I have?
Do he not see these chariots out here? Do he not see my entourage out here? Do he not see the gold apparels and the linen and the fine linen that's on me? Do he not see all of this? And yet he's going to tell me to go take a bath in a muddy river? Do he know who I am? Ah, that spirit of pride. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a downfall. Amen. That spirit of pride vexed him.
Yes, that's right.
And the vexation of that spirit caused him almost to lose out with God.
That's right.
All Satan wants to do, amen, is vex your spirit. And how does he vex it? He vexes it because he causes you to do things, amen, your way, which is contrary a lot of times to God's way. And if you don't have it your way, you get angry and you get mad. This is what exactly happened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the high priest. Amen. When Jesus came and preached the word of God, they wanted it their way. They wanted it to be done their way. They wanted him to submit to their doings. The Bible says, and I spoke on this the other night, that Jesus preached to 5,000 at one point, 4,000 at another point. And the Bible says they pressed upon him when they came to him, and as he was preaching off the boat, they pressed upon him, followed him, because they wanted to hear the word of God. And my question was, where was the high priest, where was the word of God, when the high priest and the Pharisees, before Jesus came, what were they listening to? When Jesus came and spoke truth. Glory to God. It was something in them. Their soul hungered for that truth. Amen. There's somebody listening to me now. Your soul is hungry for truth. You ain't about foolishness. You ain't about stupidity. You ain't about, amen, all that dumb stuff that causes religious genealogies. All that kind of stuff, religious stuff. God, you ain't about all of that. You want truth. You want what is right. You want to do what is right. Your mind is focused on that. I'm here to tell you God's going to send a word to you so you can get where God wants you to be, because the blessings are going to release when you accept truth and not accept what you want to accept, not accept what your pride causes you to accept. And a lot of times Satan will give to you and put stuff in your midst. Amen, and cause people to flock to you and all this kind of stuff just to keep you on the proud side, making you think that it's God blessing you. But down in your soul, the Spirit of God will let you know what's true and what's false. He'll do it. Glory to God. Because he's getting ready to move. There's getting ready to be a shifting. There's getting ready to be a movement. And I say this, and it's going to, there's a great amount of things that are going to shift this year in your life. Glory to God. You humble yourself. But what happens is, if that doesn't happen, glory to God, we get vexed. Now look what happened. Here what Amos says, is not a banner and far rivers of Damascus better than all these waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, vexed by a spirit, vexed, and they're trying to help him to get healed. You need the healing. He was vexed. And my time is mostly gone, but let me go ahead and finish this. He was vexed, but then he turned, glory to God. And one of his servants says, you know, if the man of God told you to do something great, you would have done it. Why not do this little thing and be healed? And the Bible says he turned around and went back and did it seven times, and his flesh came as the flesh of a child. Because he came off of his pride. He allowed that spirit, that vexation spirit, to leave him. He did not allow it to control him into an angry rage, and he went and did and became healed by doing what the man of God said. He didn't do follow him. mind. My question is, if he'd have followed his own mind, why wouldn't he have got healed before he came to the man of God? If you don't come to the man of God, then you got to do what he said do. If you wouldn't intend to do what he said do, then you just stay where you at and do what you want to do and stay in the same shape you're in. But God is going to send an anointed person to you so that you can get right directions for your healing, deliverance, your blessings, and everything that you need to have. God's going to do it for somebody that's listening to me on this radio broadcast right now. You're on the verge of the biggest breakthrough that you ever had in your life. Just don't let that spirit cause you to be so vexed and so angry with your neighbor and with situations and with problems that it causes you to lose out with God. Whatever going to be, going to be. But God's getting ready to hasten his word to perform it. And no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. Glory to God. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. My time is gone. PO Box 492, we need to hear from you. I want to hear your testimony. Continue to bless. Amen. Continue to stay with the word of God. Amen. And my time is gone. I pray, God, for you. Be with us next time at the same time. Until that time, God bless and keep you is my prayer.